Good morning to you all. Really good to see you. And I hope you've had a good summer, if I haven't seen you. And you're ready for the autumn. But it's really good to see you. And I'm really excited about this season. We're doing a one-off today, as Sam said at the beginning. We're talking as we lead into this week of prayer with 24/7 prayer and joining in with all that's happening around the world as churches, as people, as believers around the world. This week we'll be choosing to prioritize seeking God's face. And it's good to join in with that. It's good to join in with the church, God's people around the world. And it really is around the world, all peoples all around the world, churches joining in, seeking God's face at the beginning of this season. And that's what we're doing. So today is a bit of a standalone. At the end, next Sunday, we'll do a little bit off the back of the prayer week. And then we'll start our new series the following week, which is on the cross and the wonder of the cross, which I'm really excited about as well. So there's lots of good stuff coming. So I just want to lead us into this week of prayer, and just there's already been so many good things said. Oh, by the way, I'm Mike. If you don't know me, sorry. I'm Mike, and I lead the church here at NCS. We're two churches. There's a church in Netheredge meeting this morning as well, King's Center, and we're Philadelphia, and together we're at Network Church Sheffield. I'm going to read to you from Exodus 33. We've already had some parts of this quoted this morning already. This is this great passage where the people of God have been set free out of Egypt. If you remember the story, they are on their journey to the promised land, and there's all sorts of things happen on that way. And you'll know that the people of God don't make it easy on themselves. There's not that straight journey to the promised land. There's lots of things happen along the way, and we're getting to the point where they're about to enter the promised land finally. The promised land that God has said to them, I will give you a land, the place where, and you'll be my people and I'll be your God. And this is in Exodus 33, and I'm starting at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. If you remember, they had, when Moses had gone up the mountain to meet with God, they'd made a golden calf and started worshipping other gods. This isn't just God being in a grumpy mood. It's like, you know, I've done all this for you, and then you've gone and sought other idols and stuff. Now Moses used to make a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And then whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. I love that image, that expectation. Moses is going to the tent. He's going to meet with God. What's he going to say? They all rose in anticipation of him going in there. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you." That's a good prayer for us all to pray, isn't it? Teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. And then Moses finishes his prayer by saying, remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with me or with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. It's good stuff, isn't it? Really good stuff. The people of God and this heart of Moses. Why, and what I want us to explore this morning is, why was Moses prepared to say, don't send us there if you don't go with us? Don't let us go into this, even into this land that is flowing with milk and honey, which symbolizes a land which is going to be good, a land where they will be able to grow their crops, where they will live well. But Moses says, no, don't send us there if you don't go with us. Why does he say that? And that's what I want to explore this morning. What is it about him? As I said earlier, they've just been rescued out of Egypt. Moses and the people of God have seen the Red Sea part. They've walked through the Red Sea. They've been given manna from heaven. Remember the story of the manna from heaven? Eat daily. Eat what the Lord gives you daily. And yet, while Moses is up the mountain with God, the people make a golden calf. They turn away from gazing on the Lord. Even after all he's done, they turn away and they make this golden calf and start worshipping something else. And before we start going, well, of course, I don't make golden calves, just remind yourselves how easy it is for your heart to wander away from the Lord. Remind myself how easy it is for my heart to wander away from the Lord. But as we see, God is a God who doesn't take much for him to come back, for him to welcome us back. God responds, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you. You can have the promised land, but not my presence. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses basically says to God, no deal, God, no deal. I'd rather be stuck in the wilderness with you than step into comfort without you. That's the heart posture I'm really interested in exploring. I'd rather not be in comfort and with you than have everything I've ever wanted but not be with you. Isn't that a word for our culture today, for us? I think it is. And I'd love us to explore that. So, the first slide, Brian, please. Lord, show us your glory. That's our heart cry as a people of God. And I just want to look at these points this morning. God's presence is good for us. And it's all a part of this. Why did Moses have this heart posture? Why did he have this attitude? So God's presence is good for us. God's presence is about relationship. God's presence changes us. And God's presence, or stepping in, I should have phrased this slightly differently, but stepping into God's presence is a choice. He's never far away, but it's our choice to step into it. So God's presence is good for us. You will know that having a traveling companion is good for you. There are certain people you don't want to be stuck in a car with on a long journey, and there's probably certain people you would love to be stuck in a car with on a long journey. I won't get you to talk to each other and tell each other who those people are, but you know who I'm talking about. You know what I mean. Going on a journey, traveling with some people is a real joy. I went to the Hebridean Revival with Tom, who leads Crooks, conference. And if you've been to the Hebrides, you know that's a good journey. Like 8 hours drive. And I was like, I don't know Tom that well. This could all go really wrong. strapped in a car with him, or and we hate each other at the end and we lose our faith and all that. Or it could be good. It was the latter. It was good. And he was a good traveling companion. We had great, you know, there's times where it's just easy. You just chat and just good conversation. Traveling companion is good. Being with that person, that traveling companion, is a good for you. It helps you understand things. The conversations you have are good and they're positive. I've often talked about the illustration, but I can't think of a better illustration of when I went walking with my dad when I was 12 years old, and I did the Yorkshire Three Peaks. Yeah, you know the Yorkshire Three Peaks, Ingleborough and the others, Penigent. And we came to, I think we did Penigent last, which I think is the one with the really, is the one that has the really steep slope. Pardon? That's Ingleborough, is it? Okay, I was only 12, it's a long time ago. But I always remember us doing this, and you know, Dad was my traveling companion, we were going together, and I always remember on Ingleborough, the last one, suddenly the weather changed, as it can do. It just came down, and Ingleborough's, it has got this steep slope at the end, and suddenly I felt very unsafe. You know, you're on these narrow paths sometimes, and you have these drops either side of you on the paths. And suddenly it's like grief. This is, and I think my dad was probably quite scared, but he didn't show it. And I always remember how being with my dad changed how I saw that situation. You know, I felt safe with him. He probably didn't feel safe, but he gave me that sense of feeling safe with him. And I remember us finding shelter in a little cave as the rain came down. And it's just one of those lovely memories I have of being with my dad. And as often happens, these kind of experiences we have on earth, with our families, with our friends, often point to something greater about God. And I always think this tells me a truth about God. That he wants to be our traveling companion, and the truth that it won't always be easy. Sometimes the storms come, but whose hand do you put your hand into when you're walking? That's the God that we're talking about. This is why Moses knew that he wanted to be in God's presence, because he's a good traveling companion. He's not someone who promises that it will be all good, but he is someone who promises he will be with you through all things. And I always look to that memory of walking with my dad to remind me that this points to something about God. So choosing to be with him, walking with him, is good. And I'm not saying that Moses was just interested in having good company. I know there will have been a transactional thing. I know that being with God, you want something from him. And he knew that the people of God were going to be better off going with him. He'd already seen what God could do. He'd provided manna. He'd parted the sea for them. He knew that God could do things. But I think there was something about just being with God. Being with God. And I think Moses reflects something of that heart. It's about being with the one you and I were always meant to be with. You were created to be with him. I was. You were created to live in relationship, in partnership with him. You were created to be his traveling companion. And he is never far off holding out his hand to walk with you through those things in life. Moses knew this. Don't send me if you don't go with me. And I want that to be our prayer as people of God. I want that to be our prayer as a church. Don't send us anywhere. However good it may seem, however amazing it may be, don't send us unless we go with you. Because that's the thing that makes us, you know, how else will we be different from anyone else unless we go with you? Secondly, God's presence is about relationship. And I've kind of already talked about this, but I just want to emphasize this point. It's very much linked to his presence is good for us. But God's presence is about relationship. As we begin to know God better, we learn to know him more. It's the metrics of any relationship, isn't it? The more we spend with someone, the more we know them. The more we get to know who they are. what we get out of the relationship becomes less important than going deeper in relationship with him. We mature, if you like, in our relationship with God as we spend time with him. If you think, I was trying to think of an illustration. I was thinking about my children when they're small. If you think about when children, when they're small, and their relationship with their parents, if you like, it's often more transactional, isn't it? It's like, what can I get from you? I always remember, like, if I'd been away and I came home, it's like, what have you brought me? It's like, are you pleased to see me? No, what have you brought me? They knew that, I know it's more than that. I know it wasn't just about what they could get from you, but that's how they're behaving. It's that kind of immature relationship. They don't articulate something of, it's just good to be with you. I mean, that'd be a bit weird if you tell, oh, I don't want anything, Dad. It's just so nice to see you and so nice to be with you. You know, little children wouldn't do that. But as they grow older, that becomes more the way you do articulate yourselves in relationship. And you're less bothered, and it's true for me, with my friendships and with my family, I'm less bothered about what I can get from them. I just like being with them. I want to be with them because they're the sort of people that God has given me in my life that are good for me to be around. And it's the same with God. As we mature in our relationship with him, as we spend time with him, as we choose to be in his presence, we're less interested in what we can get from him. When we get more of that attitude of, whatever comes, Lord, just let me be with you. I'm not saying I'm there, but I know that's what Moses is articulating. And I think that is maturity in relationship with God. Whatever comes. Not an easy prayer, but whatever comes, God, as long as I'm with you, I know I'm going to be okay. I put a cheesy line. I realize that it's presence rather than presence. No? Okay. If you think about some other scriptures, we prayed it when we were praying before the service. Better is one day in your court than thousands elsewhere. Psalm 84. Better is one day in your court. I'm saying this is an aspiration. This is what I'm praying I become. This is what I'm praying we become as a church. Where we just are like, better is one day with you than thousands elsewhere. That heart that I just long for you. Psalm 63, David, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. I've seen you in the sanctuary. In other words, I know who you are. I've experienced you. I've seen you in the sanctuary, and I've beheld your power and your glory. Saint Augustine, not the scriptures, but a really good phrase to remember. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. It's a good prayer to pray in the morning. Make my heart restless until it finds its rest in you. A good fridge sticker. Thirdly, God's presence changes us. As we spend time with God, his presence changes us. When Moses came down from the mountain after being with God, his face was shining. We didn't read this bit of Exodus 34 in the next chapter, verse 29. His face was shining. Being with God, his face was shining. And he didn't realize it, but the other people could see it as he came down. And I'm not saying that as we spend time with God, we will start glowing like those of you who are old enough remember the Ready Brick adverts. I kind of picture that, the glow around the Ready Brick. I'm not getting much recognition. I'm not that old, am I? Okay. But he does change us as we spend time with him in his presence. That's what happens when we prioritize God's presence. We are changed. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. Isn't that what you want? I really want to challenge us and encourage us, invite us, whatever the right phrase is. I really want to do that this morning and say, Is that what you want? And you may be someone who goes, yeah, that's what I want. I'm in that place. But I know I've been in a place where, honestly, I haven't been able to say that. But my prayer then has been, Lord, make me want that. You know, sometimes you're just at that place. So wherever you're at, just pray that prayer. Lord, make me want your glory. Or help me to see what it means to want your glory. If that's you, that's fine. But I can just encourage you to seek him, because he's not hard to find. He loves it. Just like, again, like a parent loves it when their child runs up to them and just wants to be with them. It's exactly the same with God. The more time we spend with God, the more we become like him. And again, I was thinking about something, a silly thing within our family. My children all, how do you say small grains of rice, not rice, but you have with like Moroccan food? Couscous or couscous. I've always said couscous, and my kids all say couscous because they've just been brought up by me. And one day, Bethany, she went to school. She said, I just got lambasted by all my friends, ridiculed for calling it couscous. I thought it was couscous. And it's couscous. And I went, no, it's not. It's couscous. It's just an example, isn't it, that who you spend time with, you'll think that's what's true. You'll think that's what's right. And poor Beth, she got over it. But she never lets me forget that I taught her the wrong way of saying. I still think it's couscous. I think that's better. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish us from your people, from all the other people on the face of the earth? His presence changes us. It's only by his grace and mercy and what he does in our lives that we become anything that is worth that we become the blessing that is for the world. You know, it's through him. It's what he does in us. It's what he makes us. This broken, frail, weak bunch of people that we are. It's by his strength and power and glory and what he does in and through us and how he changes us. It's him. All glory to him. You know, John the Baptist, we must decrease, he must increase. And the only way we become that people is if we choose to spend time with him. It has to come first. I'm not saying we're going to turn into this bless up, all we do is spend time with the Lord. No, that's no use to anyone. But we must prioritize seeking God, seeking his presence, to be changed, to be the people, the church that he's calling us to be. There's some good things ahead of us in terms of what God, I think, is leading into as a church. And I'm really excited about it, but I'm also nervous that we go there without him. I don't want to do that. I want this to last. I want longevity. I want us to learn to walk with him so that when the tough stuff happens, we know who our traveling companion is, and we'll be able to keep going, keep going, keep going on the things. Because the people of God have this habit of wandering. You know, you read Exodus, they have this habit of wandering. And I don't want us as a church to wander. And there's sometimes a danger that when things are going well, we forget our first love. You know, seek your first love. The revelation, the chapter in Revelation, seek your first love. Come back to your first love. Without God, we can still do good things. But only with God can we begin to see the fullness of the things of heaven being realized on earth now. Before any great plans, ideas, or ministries, our hearts must be set on seeking God and encounter with him. I just want you to ask yourself, do you believe that? I'm not asking, do you believe that? Is that where your heart is at? Do you want him before anything else? I encourage you to just start saying that to him. Help me to want you more if that's where you're at. I want you, Lord. I know I need you. And lastly, God's presence is a choice, which I'm already starting to talk about. Some of you may have heard the phrase thin place. I put knowing your thin place. Where is the thin place where you just know it's easier for you to connect with God? You'll know that. You'll know it might be people. It might be a location. It might be an activity that you do. But where are those places where you know your heart is softened towards him? That's what I mean by a thin place. I don't mean that God is, well, we could have this conversation. Is God more present in some places than others? We could have that conversation. I'm not going to go there now. But you do know that there are things that you do, places that you go to, people that you spend time with, that help you get into that place with God. Where are those places with you? And it'll be different for different people. For me, worship at the moment, some worship has always been a place where I just encounter God. But particularly at the moment, I find it really hard to get through worship without, if I'm really honest with you, just crying all the time. Because I've got to go now. Just bear with me. We went to a big church festival. I know a number of you have been to different things. DTI was great. I heard all about DTI, how good it was. And there's David's Tent. Some people go to that. It's just worship times. And there's just something happening in the country at the moment, a kind of softness to God, a kind of heart posture of people, of really seeking him. And you can sense it when you're there. And for me, as someone who loves sung worship, that is a thin place for me. You know, being in with a group of people who's there's a song at the moment by a band called Sons of Sunday, and it's called I Looked Up, and it's that image of I will lift our heads to God. Where, that's another question, where are the places, the people, the things that you do that lift your head to God? And I was in this, I had the joy of being at this, there are many, I'm not saying this is the only one, but I was at a big church festival. And I was in the worship tent with probably about 3,000 people who were all full on seeking God. And it's hard to be in that sort of a place and not have your heart softened towards God. Where are those places for you? Where are those places for you? And just to encourage you, people have said that the church is getting older and dying. It is not. When you see these young people, it was a whole range of people, which you know as a church we're all about, intergenerational, multigenerational. There were so many people of all ages going for it, seeking God, and it was just a beautiful place to be. And I heard the stories of DTI and young people from the Shire Green were part of it, and our young people, and they all went, and we joined in with other churches, St. Tom's and St. Luke's, and Bethany, my daughter, was leading for the first time. She came out buzzing from that, just saying they were all wanting to seek God. Doesn't that excite your heart? When you hear about young people longing for God, it's a choice. What is your thin place? How do we do this? How do we prioritize God's presence? Choose to put yourself in the places where your heart is softened. David, Psalm 63, I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. He knew, and he went to the sanctuary. He chose the place of presence. Moses, the tent of meeting, he'd go there because he knew that's where he'd meet God. For us, we don't have to go to a tent. We don't have to find the tent. God's everywhere, but where is it for you that you will meet with God? I love sitting in the garden in the morning, quietly. And there's probably my age. As you get older, you start saying things like this, don't you? I love sitting in the garden, but I do. I just love it. I love the quietness, and I sense God in that place. It's a thin place for me, you know, a bit of quiet and peace and quiet. And our lives are so busy, aren't they? We're so rushed. We're so distracted. Sometimes it's just finding that space where you stop. And I know it's easier said than done, especially if you've got small children. I realize that I'm not at that stage of life where I have more space to do this. But where is that space where you stop? God gets the chance to remind you that he's there and he loves you and he's with you. I think what I'm wanting to say is that sometimes we will not feel like we want to. We're not feeling it. We're not feeling God. We're not feel like even we want to go there. But we know what is right for us and what is good for us. And we choose, almost sometimes against what we really want to do, we choose to go to that place, to those people, to do that thing which we know will be good for us and will soften our hearts. I have so many times when I've had time on my own gone, oh, I've just got a bit of time on my own. I can go and, I don't know, watch something on telly or listen to some music, all of which are good things, but I know this is not what my soul needs. And I've gone against my, oh, I just want to do that. And I've gone against it and I've listened to some worship music or I've watched a YouTube video of someone preaching, a good preacher that I know will be good. And it doesn't take long before I'm like, why did I find it so hard to get to this place? Because now I'm here, this is exactly where I want to be. Do you know what I mean? Did you get that? Like sometimes you just find it really hard, but when you choose it and you almost, it's almost an act of will, your heart then becomes softened in that place. Anyone else? Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Where's the thin place? Recognize that your heart is always going to be in tension, and seeking God is not always easy. Find those places, those situations that soften your heart. I've just got a picture of a fire that I took when I was at big church, and it's just that image of. I meant to bring it this morning. I've got one of those flints where you can strike it, and then all sparks come off. That's the image for me. Where's the place where there's the flint and the sparks are going to come, and it's going to, and then God's Spirit will breathe the fire. This was worship at a worship campfire. It was great. It was dangerous as well because the wind was blowing all the sparks all over us. But again, a really good image of how you can be set on fire with Jesus. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Where are your places of flint? Where is the tinder dry, ready to just spark for you? Where is it easy to ignite the flame? Go there, choose to be there. Choose to do whatever it is you need to do to create the possibility of fire. Okay, I just want to just remind us again, Sam did a really good job of this, so I'm not going to labour this, but I really would love to encourage you just on the next slide, just to remind you again, this week our prayer room is open every day. Book a slot if you can. If prayer room isn't your thin place, which I know it might not be for everyone, just find the thin place, but book a slot. Just let us know you're praying, wherever it is, whatever you're doing. If you're going for a walk in the peaks and you're praying, just let us know. Just book that slot and say that. It just encourages us and encourages us all to say, we're doing this together. We're going on this journey together. And then next Saturday, we've got the 12 p.m. Zoom prayer time for an hour, and then in the evening, and you can carry on booking prayer slots throughout the day, and then in the evening at King's Centre, 7 till 10, gathering for prayer and worship. And hopefully it was put 10 p.m. till 10 a.m. Individuals will keep the night watch. I know a few people did that last time, and they just prayed for an hour through the night, which was great. So just remind you of that, please. Please do as much as you can get involved with that, and let's encourage each other in pursuing him and seeking him together. I'm going to finish with the question I've already asked you. What are you really longing for right now? What are you really longing for right now? Comfort, success, or God himself? You can have those things, but what takes priority? And are you prepared to pray? Am I prepared to pray? Whatever happens, God, before anything else, I just want your presence. I want to be with you. As a church, what does success look for us? What would you say if I said to you, what does success look for us as a church? What does it look like for us as a church? Someone said to you, who doesn't come to this church, oh, what would make your church successful? What would you say to them? We do some great things. There's some great things happening. We've got 9 interns starting this year in our partnership with STC. It's great. We've got great work going on at our food banks and our Connect Cafe. We've got these initiatives to do work with a charity called Growing Hope, where we'll be able to bring care and
psychologists to help with families and children. Well, we've got this great initiatives. We've got people who pray regularly. But unless all of this is rooted in seeking him as in his presence, that's for me what success looks for. If someone said to me, oh, that's the church where they go after God, where if you go there, you can expect to meet with God, I would say that's successful. And I think actually that everything else will come from that. You know, if you're doing that, if we're genuinely doing that, we won't be able to sit still. We'll be pushed out into the world because we'll have his heart for the world and for people. So I'm not at all saying, it's just a big bless up. But that would be success for me. That's how it's the marker of success, that people knew St. Thomas Philadelphia, Network Church Sheffield, King's Centre, was a place where you encountered God and where there were people who, regardless of what was going on, chose him and put him first. Okay. Can I encourage you to stand? I'm just going to pray for us and just give a bit of space for us to rest in God, do business with God ourselves. It's always good and to respond to God, what he may be saying to us. It's always good to be honest with him as well. So what is your honest prayer to him this morning? Is it, Lord, I'm in that place. Show me your glory. Help me to be someone who seeks after you. Or you've a bit further back. I don't get this, but if this is true, show me it's true. I don't know where you're at, but please just be honest with the Lord this morning. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give a bit of space, and then we will sing again. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here with us. Thank you that we have the Word of God that teaches us. Thank you for the people who've gone before us, the people we read in the Bible. Moses, today we've been thinking about, who have pursued you, have sought your glory. Thank you for the people throughout history who have prioritized you. And Lord, we humbly stand before you this morning as your people called to follow you. We humbly stand before you and we ask you to set our hearts on fire with love for you once again. Set our hearts on fire with love for you, we pray. Lord, we long for the thing that people say about us as people and as a church to be, they worship Jesus. They prioritize him. That's the place where you will meet with you, with Jesus. Help us to be that people, Lord. Stir our hearts. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you promise to come and equip us and to be with us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come now, once again, fill us afresh. Equip us. Stir us. Stir up a passion for your name. Your love, Lord, is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Amen. If you would like further prayer, would you like someone to pray alongside you? If God has been speaking to you in the service for anything, it could be about what I've been saying, it could be anything else, please do take the opportunity this morning to be prayed for. We've got a great prayer ministry team. They're good people. They pray well. They have a real faith for believing for God for transforming and doing things in your life. So please do take the opportunity. They will be standing over here after the service. So please do take the opportunity. We're gonna sing together, and we're gonna sing Holy Forever. I was talking with Jill earlier that there are certain songs that just have a particular anointing for a moment. And I think this song Holy Forever is one of those songs at the moment, and it's about, and we've chosen it because it's about fixing our eyes on him. Let's finish as we've been talking. Let's fix our eyes on him. Let's declare who he is. If you are a parent of a child who needs picking up, please do go and pick up your child now at this point.